Tune into Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Psy's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Psy's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. With heartfelt love and deep gratitude, I place myself at the lotus feet of the power that created the universe and all the galaxies around it, including those that are yet to be discovered. I bow to the power that runs many universes in harmony and holds them in balance. The power that powers the sun and the moon and the earth and every atom anywhere and everywhere. I pray to this power that existed in the stillness even before the five elements came into existence at his pleasure. I surrender to the glorious power that assumed a human form, the resplendent form of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, only to give us the rare opportunity to establish a sense of kinship with him. Glory be to the Purna Avatar, the majestic concentration of infinitely divine power and love. Glory be to Bhagwan Baba, our beloved Swami. Sai Ram, and good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 29th of June 2017, a very significant day for me personally because I will be sharing some important news with the listeners of Morning Glory today, and I will do so very soon. But first, the weather. Oh, by the way, my name is Karuna and I'm honored to be your host this morning. But first, the weather in the Divine Valley is seasonally comfortable. Just as the devotees from around the world have started pouring in to celebrate Guru Purnima with us on the 9th of July, the Lord has ensured the rains have cooled the ashram. Current temperature in Prashanthi Nilayam is 26 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are around 33 degrees Celsius. Overnight lows are in the 23 to 24 degree range Celsius. Cool and pleasant breeze, overcast skies, fair mix of sun and cloud. All in all, this is our paradise, spiritual and divine paradise, and we couldn't be happier any place else on the planet. Lineup of programs today. We will have a live from the studio conversation with the one remaining RJ from Team Radio Psy, who could not join us earlier when we celebrated the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live on 25th of May. A couple of weeks ago, the other remaining RJ, CG Sai Prakash, joined us here, and I'm delighted to inform you that today, Brother Bishop Prushti will be here to share his look back at the 5 years of Thursday Live with our listeners. And before that comes up, I have a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity. My guest is from Assam in Northeast India, and her name is her introduction. Ms. Deepali Chankakoti recorded a candid and heartfelt interview with us some time ago, which you can enjoy on the show shortly. Also, I have a question for the listeners of Morning Glory, and I will be eagerly waiting for your answers by email pronto at karuna@radiosai.org, karuna@radiosai.org. Here comes my question for this morning. It's a tricky one, so pay attention, please. Can you tell me the name of the grand old lady of Prashanthi Nilayam who is turning 58 today? And no, it's not my birthday today. Here are a few tips about her. She's a cool one, and everything about her is super calming, especially she can help you calm your mind. She resides along the hillside road that goes up to the Satya Sai University's admin block. If you sit in her lap, your mind is likely to be still and centered. Did I mention the grand old lady is mystical and she draws spiritual seekers to herself? Today, as we speak, her birthday celebrations are about to begin with Vedam and Bhajans. And oh, incidentally, her favorite color is green, and she's full of blessings, and she provides clean oxygen for the body, mind and soul. Please email me your answer at karuna@radiosai.org. So name me the iconic beauty of Prashanthi Nilayam who turns 58 today. With that, it is time for me to share with you some personal information. Dear sisters and brothers, through the month of July and possibly a few weeks of August, I will be away from Morning Glory due to family commitments. And for a change, thanks to Swami, these are happy reasons. But all of you are family too, because Swami binds us as brothers and sisters. And if you know me by now, you will vouch that for me, Bhagwan's glory comes first. It remains priority number one at all times under all circumstances. So I'm very happy to report that during this time when I'm away, I have lined up for you some of the most amazing interviews, possibly the best ones I have ever sat through and hosted over the years. And they're all brand new. These gripping conversations will be yours to enjoy on every episode of Morning Glory during this period. I have handpicked these interviews specially for your inspiration, and my colleague, Brother Raghu, has graciously agreed to host Morning Glory during my absence. Every Thursday, your guest host will bring you these deeply inspiring and riveting interviews that you simply cannot afford to miss. Be absolutely sure to catch them. One of my most favorite ones is the one with Dr. Ramesh and Mrs. Sunita Vadwani of Connecticut, USA. That conversation is so deeply, intensely, and insanely full of Swami's love that it's going to change. You know, you will feel your heart just churn with love for Swami. Each one is very special, and somehow I didn't plan it, but all of them are in my repository unused, so it's wonderful that you will get to hear them over the next 7-8 weeks. And each one is better than the other. I can't even pick one and say only this is my favorite. So I hope to be back at this RJ console hosting Morning Glory as soon as I'm done my duties at home. And of course, for that I need Swami's blessings and permission. He's the boss around here. Also, dear listeners, another development that I wish to share with you and seek your blessings for is that just yesterday, I took charge as the director of the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program. This is yet another blessing from Swami that I'm utterly humbled and deeply grateful for, because it's an opportunity to learn from an amazing team at the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini program who have worked very hard and very sincerely since the inception of that program 5 years ago. As you may know, the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini team consists of a group of highly motivated, creative and talented devotees. It's a real pool of intelligence, creativity, resourcefulness and dedication for Swami. And under the able guidance of Brother Satyajit, they have all toiled day and night. And I consider myself very blessed to have this chance to benefit from their learning, from their dedication and from their love for Swami. By including me in the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini team, Bhagwan has bestowed immense blessings upon me and given me further opportunity to experience His glory. And luckily for me, I won't have to cut my connection with you, dear listeners. I will still get to be part of the team at Radio Sai, my happy place, where I experience a real spiritual high by constant exposure to Swami's beauty, His majesty, the grandeur of His divine message. Our Radio Sai is full of light and love. And I guess I was getting so complacent and so comfortable and overfed by His grace that Swami decided I must learn more and grow further. So while I will be joining the outstanding exemplary team at Vidya Vahini, I'm hopeful I will still have a connection with all of you through my work here. And I will continue to be available at my email ID, karuna@radiosai.org. Now you know what you have to do, dear sisters and brothers, for me. Please say a prayer for me to Swami to hold my hand and guide my step to live up to the responsibilities that He has so graciously and generously entrusted me with. May He always keep me grounded and awake, wide awake, to the fact that I am but an instrument and He's the one who accomplishes everything that He wishes through each one of us. And may He always keep me true to my original song, that the one and only hero of all our stories is the one and only Sai. All else is fluff, superfluous and incidental. With that, dear listeners, I'm delighted to bring you part one of Tris with Divinity with Miss Dipali Chankakoti. And as I play the file, please send me your answers to my question. Name the grand old lady of Prashanthi Nilayam who's celebrating her 58th birthday today. Right now, bhajans and vedam is being sung to her as we speak. She's all green and calming by nature, and she nurtures seekers in her lap when they visit her along the hill leading to the admin block of the Sai University. My email ID remains karuna@radiosai.org. On the other side of this interview with Ms. Dipali Chankakoti, I will announce your names and I will be joined by my colleague Brother Bishop Rushti, the lone remaining RJ from Team Radio Sai's Thursday Live, who is yet to interact with us on Morning Glory. So please don't go anywhere. Over now to Trisway Divinity with Ms. Dipali Chankakoti. Om Shri Sai Ram, dear listeners. Sometimes it's just so refreshing to relive the days when Bhagwan Baba spent considerable time interacting with his devotees in person, grooming them, giving them his time, his personal attention, and of course his unconditional love. Today our guest is one such person who had the great fortune of having Swami enter her life in the late 1960s in the state of Assam in Northeast India. Ms. Dipali Chankakoti of Guwahati is the Assam State Spiritual Coordinator for the Sai Seva Organization, as well as the National Level Resource Person for the Sri Satya Sai Bal Vikas Program. Ms. Dipali Chankakoti holds a Master's Degree in English from the Dibrugarh University, and she's also the Master Trainer for the Government of Assam and a member of the Ethical Committee of the Guwahati Medical College. Today we are hoping to take her down memory lane and hear from her firsthand what it was to live so close to the Divine Incarnate Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Sai Ram Dipali ji, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram Karuna, I offer my humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan and Sai Ram to all the listeners. Fortunate are those who were born in this century when the Supreme Divine Principle chose to incarnate as Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba to redeem us and also to kindle the lamp of spirituality and thus expedite our salvation. When I reflect upon our spiritual journey so far, when I think about those divine moments I spent in Bhagwan's immediate physical proximity, I can only shed tears of gratitude, because what I am today is a boon from Bhagwan himself. Because Bhagwan entered our lives very, very early when we were in school. I was fortunate enough to be born in a highly spiritual, spiritually inclined family. So there was a spiritual atmosphere in the house. We got up, woke up every morning listening to the soulful divine bhajans of my parents. Both of them were very good singers. We were taught to sing. We were taught to say prayers in the morning and in the evening as well. Deva Priti, Papa Bhiti, Sanganiti. These were principles which were taught to us as little children. And
so you mean love for God, fear of sin and morality in society?
Yes. And doubly reinforced by Bhagwan, who entered our lives in the late 60s when we were all school-going children.
So growing up in this atmosphere that you speak of, which was spiritually very vibrant. And very naturally so, how did Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba enter the picture?
Okay. We were invited to my mother's cousin's place for bhajan. We all went.
This would be in the 1960s?
Yeah, late 1960s.
Mm-hmm. In Guwahati?
In Shillong.
In Shillong.
This was in Shillong.
Okay.
And then we went for bhajan. We did not know, we had no inkling whatsoever about the bhajan or for whom it was being done. So we went there. And then we sat, we enjoyed the bhajan, and we took an instant liking to the picture of Bhagwan there. And by God's grace, all four of us, we picked up a few bhajans also. And it's sheer God's grace that one of the gentlemen there, Mr. Panikar, brought in a picture of Bhagwan and gave it to my mother. We took an instant liking for Bhagwan, so the photo was immediately framed and kept at the altar. Believe it or not, from the very next day, Amritam Vibhuti started emanating from the picture. Not only that picture, the pictures of other deities as well. And then we felt that, you know, up till then, God was, you know, a statue or a photo we worshipped. So to think that suddenly he had become alive and he had entered Ferndale Cottage, that was our house, silently and so beautifully. We were, you know, like, we were just overwhelmed. We started singing bhajans because we remembered. Four bhajans we remembered, four of us. We started singing those bhajans and the bhajans, with devotional songs which were taught to us by our parents. And then we felt his presence so intensely because the doors would start opening. Knobs would start turning one after another.
When
we were singing bhajans. Always during bhajans. That was the evening bhajan. In the morning, we would go off to school.
He didn't spook you. It could be a ghost also, right?
No, my father did think. Uh-huh. He would go running out, thinking that it must be some thief trying to enter the house. So, we won't see anything. But it would always be accompanied by a strong fragrance of vibhuti.
I see.
You know? And then, one or two occasions, we saw a shadow also. And we would hear very soft and sweet footsteps coming.
Whose shadow was it? What did it
Had, you know, it was a shadow with a crown of hair, mop of hair. And that we all saw very distinctly. And then we would whisper, Papa has come. Hmm. We would whisper to each other. But we would continue and sing with full gusto.
Had you ever traveled to South India by then before?
No.
It was a faraway land.
Faraway land. That's what. And then, of course, God is omnipresent. Everybody knows. But his will to manifest anywhere, I think, depends upon our devotion and also Swami's will. Because imagine in those times, he went all that far, thousands and thousands of miles away, in this beautiful, picturesque hill station of Shillong, to bless us with darshan. Shadow was the only thing we saw, and a light on one occasion, a light from the doorway, it struck the picture, and immediately two flowers which were placed on the top, they turned and amrit started flowing out, nectar started flowing out from those two flowers, and then this light started moving from one picture to the other. That we all saw. And then, of course, it vanished. But you see, as my father was touring most of the time, Swami made it a practice, I would say. He would come sharp at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. There'll be a knock because we would be left with my mother and his personal PM. So there would be a knock and then we would get that strong smell of vibhuti. And this kept on. One day, what happened, my brother, as he was going through the drawing room to the washroom, he saw Swami come down from the calendar. There was a big calendar with his picture. He came down and sat on the sofa. So this fellow came running out, my brother Deepak. Oh, Swami's there. And he was shivering. So we all rushed him. All that we could see was, you know, smoke spiraling into the picture and a strong smell. That smell I cannot describe.
More like a fragrance.
It was a fragrance and it was so beautiful. Not like the normal vibhuti smell. It was somewhat different. So, and then we started believing that Bhagwan has become a part of our family. Mm-hmm. Up till now, then we had not seen him. So, As a little girl, I used to cook something in the morning. Yeah, maybe a little bit of sweet, a halwa, or some chirwa, poha, and offer to Swami. And I'll always say, Baba, you have to eat. If you don't eat, I'm not going to eat. And I would go to school. And then mother would always see Bhagwan walking across to the puja room. He was actually eating. He was, you know, accepting our meager offerings, whatever we gave. So she started cooking for him meals also. We would always find fingerprints, sometimes so deep and all brimming over with the amritam. So, you know, our house became like a pilgrim center, people flocking in from all sides. So the seva was taught to us from that stage only, because we were always trying to make our visitors comfortable, serving them food, tea. So, you know, it was like that. But the sweetest part of the whole thing is, you know, this was confirmed. His coming to our house to listen to bhajans was confirmed in 1976 when he invited us to stay in the old Vrindavan Mandir. What happened? By that time, I think 70, my father had come with a big contingent from the northeast, when Swami actually materialized a big plate with the sun and gave it to the devotees from Arunachal to be placed under the temple which they were going to construct for Swami. So he was the first one to come.
And this temple was to be constructed in Arunachal Pradesh?
Arunachal Pradesh, and it is still there.
Hmm. And it's, oh my God. This would have been in the late 60s, early 70s?
I think it was in 70s.
I see. Hmm. And for the sake of our listeners who are not very familiar with the geography of India, this is a very strategic state in the farthest corner of Northeast India, and it borders along our neighbor China.
China, yes. So, they are the worshippers of the sun god. Mm-hmm. They call him Doni Polo. Mm-hmm. So, after that, my mother came with her family. My brother Deepak was very young, but then he attended the first summer course in 1972. 74, I came with a group. I was a student then. And Baba was so kind. He blessed me with an interview along with a group. And at that period of time, when I was so young, Baba gave me a purely spiritual discourse. He spoke about meditation. He said how you should meditate. He spoke about the Trikuti. And he said, you know, in the Trikuti you will find a black spot moving around. Concentrate on that. And then he sang the song, Ganga Jamuna Teer Chalo Re Mana.
The Trikuti is the third eye between the two brows.
Yeah. Mm. But he said concentrate on the black spot.
When you close your eyes, you tend to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you remember the song, how it went? If we could hum a line.
My throat is gone. I'll try. Ganga Jamuna Teer Chalo re mana, Ganga Jamuna te, Ganga Jamuna, Nirmal pani, Nirmal pani. Can't sing on that.
I know you have a very bad laryngitis, but you still sang very well.
And then he sang that song, and then he said, once you understand the efficacy of Namasmarana,
chanting like, of the divine name.
He said, Namasmarana, do you know what Namasmarana is? And he described, you know, the different forms of devotion. And then he said, first you concentrate on Namasmarana and see, today I'm the spiritual coordinator and I am talking about Namasmarana all the time.
And you were trained really early in life.
very early in life.
So let's see, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2000, 40 years ago.
Yeah, 40 years ago. I'm training them. I have arranged training centers, bhajan centers, where I have Vrupak Sharma is one of them, the trainers. So, and then when I think about it, you know, like something Swami says at a certain period of time, you don't understand there and then. Hmm. But it sinks in slowly over the years.
Yeah. And then,
because that's what I felt. Like, you know, he takes the reins of our lives into His hands, gradually molding us, reshaping us, and reforming us. That's what we are today, the way He wanted us, I suppose. But we still have to try and be better. Okay. And He said many other things. But I was really surprised when Swami came along the lines and He said, go to Rajahmundry. And I said, Swami, Rajahmundry? Fortunately, there were a few other Assamese devotee friends. He told them also. So we didn't know that there was a conference in Rajahmundry. And we were directed to go there. How to go? Where to go? We didn't know. We had no inkling whatsoever. But we went. And then, when we reached there, we find a big contingent from the northeast. My father was there. My uncle was there. Little Hirok, who was a small boy, he had also come. And there were so many others. And they were surprised. They said, why have you come here? We have come here as delegates. Then my father was quite happy. He said, okay, you look after him because he has no place there. But you will be surprised. Swami sent batches for all of us so that we could attend the conference, because I think we needed all that, the spiritual food which was necessary for our growth. So we attended that and then we went back. 76, for the 50th birthday, I'm not going to go into details there because there were many other experiences. But one thing I have to say before that, my father was transferred to Dibruga to take charge of the new radio center because he was the chief executive there, the new section. So he had to go there and that was also Bhagwan's will. Because then the Sai wave was just spreading like wildfire.
This was All India Radio?
Yeah, All India Radio.
And that was the only radio station we had in India at that time. There was no television.
Much. Yeah, there was no television. And then it was just spreading like wildfire.
So they spread Swami's message through All India Radio?
Yeah, no, not only through All India Radio, because my father was going to various places. He started opening up Bhajan Mandalis, Sai centers, and aggressively, because, you know, and then the way people were attracted, especially the youth, they all started coming. And then Seva, first it started as Bhajans, and later on Nagar Sankirtan, and then Narayan Seva, many other things were taken up gradually.
So but if I may just interject for the sake of our listeners, your father, Sri Pulin Krishna Chankakoti, was the first trust convener for the Sai organization in the northeast of India.
Yeah. Okay. And then that was for a short while because he brought him away.
And then your father was asked to join Swami's press, printing press in Vrindavan.
Braj Vrindavan
Press.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 75, my father gets a letter from Bhagwan inviting him for Swami's 50th birthday. And I think that was the year when there was this emergency was declared.
Emergency was there. Indira Gandhi's government had declared an emergency in 1975.
That happened after the war. Uh-huh. And emergency was declared. So my father, though Swami had asked him to come, and my father was in a fix. He didn't know how to go because emergency was declared. And being in the information and broadcasting departments means that he has to be there present all the time. So he was thinking how to go about it, and then he gets a telegram from Bhagwan. Come immediately, applying sick leave, Baba. So the job was done. And as he was about to board the train, he gets a call from my warden saying that I'm critically sick, hospitalized in the Assam Medical College, in the emergency ward, with an acute case of asthma status. I think I would have been dead. But you know, that's what I have learned over the years. Faith. One must have unflinching faith for Bhagwan. And that my father had. So you know, he left saying that Swami will take care. And my mother, distraught with grief, she was crying and all that, she came to Dibruga. Of course, there was a tug of war between the Yamaduta and, of course, my friends, relatives and mother, and I came around. I was saved. But I was very weak. My father went, my father who had lost his mother at the age of 3, was, you know, drenched, steeped in Bhagwan's love of a million mothers. So, you know, like, he could only weep whenever he spoke about the love he got, because his name was being announced all the time. Pulin Shankakoti from Assam wanted here. So Swami made him sit at his feet and do namaskar and all that. And he, of course, he returned after that with a lot of gift, prasad, etc. And Swami had asked him to bring all of us. So father said, okay, fine, we'll go. Of course, he had decided to take us. But then we were studying. Hirok was also studying. And then anyway, we went. It was December.
As a family, whole family together.
Yeah, family. I was very, very weak. I had to be sort of wheeled in a wheelchair. And you won't believe it, Swami's grace, compassionate Lord, he sent his own car with Radha Krishna to fetch us. So we came, and then Rama Brahma with his radiant smile, you know, he was the very personification of selfless seva, I felt. He came and he took mummy and me to the hall inside, where we stayed with late Mrs. Chopra, late Mrs. Kamani, Mrs. Raj Srivastav, and Bose aunty. Mummy and me, we were accommodated there. And my brothers and my father were accommodated in the room next to the interview room. Okay. And then Rama Brahma comes running with blankets. And
this is in Vrindavan, old Vrindavan.
Old Vrindavan. And hot water. He said, Swami said, you must have hot water bath. You must take rest. Heat, blanket over blanket. And he said, you have to use this. I said, okay. I had bath and I slept. I mean, I just lay there. And in the evening, we went out. We came out for Swami's darshan, because by that time, Swami had gone up, but he had arranged for our food. So Swami came down and he came and saw us. He blessed us all, and he said, he turned to me and he said, you go and sleep, take rest. So I went inside and I stayed there, but I was feeling miserable. I said, oh Bhagwan, I've come all the way here to have enjoy your divine proximity, and you're making me stay inside the hall. Believe it or not, next morning, I suddenly saw the door opening. I thought it was, you know, my imagination, because I saw Swami's beautiful figure being reflected on all the mirrors. But Swami walked in, said, Dipali, what are you doing? Kya karta hai? Prarthana karta hai? I said, yes, Swami. And I wanted to, you know, trying to get up to do namaskar. Swami said, no, I'm coming to you. So Swami came close to the bed. And then, he spent 10 minutes with me. He went on talking about so many things. And
like what?
He asked me how I was and how I was preparing. Did you study well? And what are you doing? Bahut kasht hota hai na? Exam ke time mein bimar hota hai. You always fall sick before your exams. Don't worry, everything will be all right. I said, Swami, I have to go back and appear for my finals. Then Swami said, don't worry, Swami will take care. And then he said, what are the doctors saying about your ailment? They said you have asthma. No, you don't have asthma. It was only the eosinophil count which had shot up to 28. That's why you suffered so much. Don't worry. Swami will cure you. So he materialized 2 capsules and he said, you have one now and you have one later on. And then after that, he waved his hand for the second time and he brought out a watch. It was a beautiful watch with a maroon dial and of course golden letters. And it had a S written on it. And Swami said,
wristwatch.
Yeah, wristwatch. And he said, do you know what watch means? Watch watch your words, actions, thoughts, character and heart. Remember that. I said, yes, Swami, I'll remember. And he said, what is this you're wearing? Take it off. Remove that watch. I said, Swami, this is a Swiss watch given to me by my uncle who stays in Switzerland. He said, no, it's a bad watch. Throw it. Here, take it out. Or give it to your mother. Anyway, he was joking, laughing and joking. I wanted to touch his feet. He said, no. He gave me his hands. You do namaskar here only. And then so saying, so much of love, he again materialized vibhuti. He asked me to have some, and then he put a tikka on me, on my forehead, and he left after that. There were various experiences, different beautiful experiences there during our stay, but I'll mention a few, just a few, not all of them. One was, you know, Swami...
How was your health, by the way? How did it improve?
Oh, that's one thing I must say. It was improving because next day I could go out. And when Swami was clicking pictures, he clicked mine also. And he asked others also to click pictures with him. And, he's like Sai Krishna over there, little Krishna playing with the children. And then there were the, you know, those cows were also there. And then, he also ensured, I don't know, probably he felt that I doubted, but ultimate remedy is with Bhagwan, but maybe, I don't know what Swami felt, but he was sending a physician twice a day to, check me. So he came and examined me in the morning and evening. Anyway, I was slowly improving. But what I want to tell you one thing, that, you know, Swami has a lot of respect for our traditions also. Because after all, he has incarnated, one of the objectives for this incarnation is Veda Poshana. So he was I personally felt that he really respects our traditions, our rituals as well. Because it was time for my brothers to have their thread ceremony.
Open-eyed.
But my mother or father, they didn't even think about it. But Swami suddenly announced that I'm going to do the Yagnopavitam for the three boys. And you will be surprised. Swami, he's a perfectionist. So the smallest detail he was observing, regarding the arrangements to be made. It was done in grand style, and he said there'll be food for the boys, the guests. And then the Yagnopavitam was done inside the interview room. He came down early, dressed my brother, helped them to wear their dhotis, their clothes, and then he sent saris for me and mommy, and he had invited the Boses, Brigadier Bose, and his wife, uncle and auntie, to be our guests. So they were also given clothes, and we were all called to the interview room. And then that was, I tell you, it was just sheer bliss and joy. Because, Swami literally, he poured so much of love. He went on materializing one thing after the other. First thing he started off with, here starts for my mom, emerald and pearl. And he said, Dipali, help your mother wear it. And me, a clumsy person like me, I turned the screw and it broke. And he said, sure, don't worry. Swami will repair. So he said, just keep it. So my mother took out her hanky and tied it. And then again, the next thing he did, he materialized tiny silver padugas. And then he was showing us, he said,
divine sandals.
Yeah, divine sandals. Hmm. And then he said, in silver, and he said, see, there's Omkar here, Om here, and there's a lotus, there's a mace, worship this every day. Every day you do puja. So my mother said, yes. Ha, puja karta hai na? You do puja every day, isn't it? And she said, yes, Swami. Yes, you do puja to this.
Like the lotus feet of the Lord.
Yeah, lotus feet of the Lord. And she was really very pious, so. Mm-hmm. And then watches for us, lockets, and so many things. Anyway, I won't go into details about that. That's not important. But then what was the sweetest part was when he said, I'm not a Brahmin. How can I do the Yajna Pavitam for you all? I said, Swami, you are God. You are beyond caste, creed and religion. He said, huh? Really? I said, yes, Swami. And then he said, okay, okay. And then he started materializing the sacrificial thread, one after another, three, and then he did, and then he taught us how to chant the Gayatri Mantram. And he said, for you people, they say, no, Gayatri Mantram can be chanted only by men. That is all nonsense. You can also chant Gayatri Mantra. So he taught, we of course started chanting from thereafter, from that day onwards. So after that, in the afternoon, Ratan Lal Aunty, Bridge Aunty comes home and says, here, come all of you. We are going to have a small ladies' bhajan at our place. So all of you come to just to celebrate the occasion. It has been such a wonderful day and Swami is so happy. So we all went and we sat there. And as the bhajan was, you know, just five or six of us, those ladies, Bridge Aunty, that's all. So they were, you know, everybody was singing with so much of devotion. Suddenly I feel a nudge at my back because I was near the door. And I thought, with my voice, I won't be able to sing. So I was sitting there and then I felt a nudge. Swami nudged me with his knee. I turned around and I was about to, cry out, hey, Swami's here. He put a finger on his lips asking me to keep quiet. So I kept quiet and then slowly he waited for some time, swaying away, enjoying the bhajan sung by Mrs. Kamani. I still remember the bhajan, Karuna Samudra Sri Rama. And then he slowly walked in singing the same bhajan. And everybody gasped, my God, Swami kab aaye? Swami said, he just, asked them to keep quiet. And quietly he went and sat on the throne. And then he asked my mom to sing. He said, Girija, tum gao. So she sang a bhajan. And he said, daughter ko bhi chance do na.
Give your daughter a chance as well.
Yeah, give her a chance as well. Mm. So, Ratan Lal Aunty said, oh Swami, Swami, you must listen to that bhajan. You know, which her sister has composed. Her sister Lily has composed a beautiful bhajan. You must. You know what he said? He said, what? What bhajan you are asking me to listen to their bhajan? They would lock the doors. I would unlock all the doors to go and listen to their bhajans. My God, I literally wept because that was just a confirmation of what he was doing years ago in the late 60s. Yeah. And then he said, no. I said, yes, Swami. And then he said, now you sing. So I started off by, like a fool, I started off with a very difficult bhajan. Nataraja, Hey Tripurari, It's beautiful, but it's a classical bhajan. And with my present state my voice was cracking because I had just recovered from a very bad attack of asthma. So I started and, Swami sang with me. You know, those parts where the notes go very high. Yeah. Swami was singing with me. And then he was telling everybody, they are very good singers, They are very, very good singers. But poor Papam, not well. Otherwise, she sings very nicely. He said that. Anyway, what was more important was the fact that he was literally living with us all along. The fact that he confirmed that he came and saw us. I mean, he came to listen to our bhajans when we were in Shillong. Yeah. That was the sweetest part of it. Okay. After that, there were a series of interviews after that and every time he was telling us something or the other. But the greatest thing, and I'm so indebted to Bhagwan for his infinite mercy. He told my father, these are my children. I will look after them. Don't worry at all, Pulin. They are my children. And he actually took care because he educated Rupak. He educated Hirak. He also brought Deepak. And as soon as I finished my exams, he sent for me and asked me to join in Anantapur.
Now, Swami's College.
Yeah, Swami's college.
At to, the, teach as
yeah,
English,
to teach as an English. Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, we were coming to the end of that particular beautiful trip. But just before that, you know, like, we would be running around. We'd be in the backyard. We'll go to that side, this side, to see Swami with his animals, with the boys. It was such a joy, you know, pure joy. But on one occasion, we saw Swami on the staircase. He was sitting with a little puppy, Alsatian. And he said, he was asking the boys, "Do you want this puppy?" Everyone was saying, "Oh, yes, Swami, I want it." He said, "No, I'm going to give this puppy to Hirok. And my brother Hirok is very fond of animals." So Swami gave that pup to Hirok. So he packed us up, me, my brothers and father, with that little puppy to Assam. He, the divine physician, had cured me, but he had other work as well. My mother was suffering from a uterine tumor. She suffered a lot. And in fact, she was advised surgery. And she said, "No, I'm not going to do anything. Whatever happens, I'm going to Swami. Swami will only cure me. And if he doesn't want to cure me also, fine. I'll accept whatever he wants for me." And so Swami asked her to stay back. And we left. And Swami said, "Don't worry. That little boy is there, no, in the house. He will cook for you. Because I would be going away to the hostel." So he said, "He'll be cooking." And he really took care. And then my mother stayed on. And then when Swami left for Parthi, he also told Mummy that your mother is coming. So mother was there with the other ladies. And when he left for Parthi, he also arranged for her to go with them. And when she reached Parthi, she was joined by her mother. And then her treatment started. Every day Swami was materializing vibhuti, which smelled like medicine and tasted like medicine. Mm-hmm. Every single day he was giving, materializing vibhuti and giving her. And then Shivaratri came. Shivaratri, they saw the Lingodbhava. And then the very next day, Mom and my granny, they were called in for an interview. The Atma Lingam, which he had brought out 2 years ago, prior to that, that Lingam was given to my granny.
It was still with Swami.
Yeah, it was with Swami.
Can you describe that Lingam to us, please?
That Lingam was slightly grayish, greenish in color. When he gave us, there was nothing. There was nothing, just that Lingam.
It was made of stone. It was opaque. Yeah.
But on that, and he gave her two, in fact. He gave another Netra Lingam with a distinct eye in it. But this Lingam, you know, this Lingam, after a few days, different figures started appearing. There was figure of Sri Ramchandra, Sita, Hanuman, then little Balakrishna, Shiva. So all those
images
started appearing one after another.
In the stone.
You can still see them. It's there installed in our main mandir in Gopinath Bhavan, there in Assam. So, and then he arranged for them to go back. So, this is about, this is 76. The next year, now, I think the main training period.
How was your mom's health then?
She went back, got herself examined. There was no trace of the tumor. It just vanished. Okay. So there were three cases. He had actually cured Hirok also of his tonsillitis. He has been doing it. Actually, when we were in Dibrugarh also, whenever we fell sick, we called him and we could actually feel him. He would come. So he had been doing it all along. That's the divine physician at work, because he's the ultimate remedy for all our ailments lies with Bhagwan. So then after that, in 77, he had asked us to come for the summer course. We did not know his divine plan, what he had in store for us. He invited us, he called us, so we all came. That time I came with my uncle. Brigadier Bodley, Nina, the entire family, me and my granny. So we came, we attended the summer course, and me, I had made Radha Krishna for him. Dolls, beautiful. I mean, Radha Krishna, because every time I came, you know, you feel like giving something to Swami. Swami gives you so much. We don't give him anything, we just take. So I had made that. And, you know, like during the course of the summer course, every day he was talking, asking us something or the other. So I also told him about this dolls, the two dolls. And I said, Swami, I have brought Radha Krishna for you. Radha Krishna for me? Why? Swami, please accept it. He said, okay, you send it. So I sent it through my uncle, and Swami comes and tells me, girl is all right. Boy, the dhoti was very short. How will you know? You don't know what boys wear, isn't it? That's why. So sweet. And then after that, when all this was over, after the summer course, that was a rewarding experience, learned so much. And when he asked us to come to Parthi, we reached Parthi, another cousin had come. Oh, this summer course incident is very interesting, because as soon as we reached, we all got badges, guest badges. The girls were joining as students, so they didn't, but I got a guest badge. And then this participants from Assam arrived, and they said, oh, no, Deepa, you are going to be our team leader on the female side. So I had to surrender the guest badge which was given by Swami with a very heavy heart, and I accepted the delegate's badge. Anyway, that was beautiful. I mean, attending the summer course, staying with the people in the shed, getting up very early at about 1 o'clock, having a bath and again going back to sleep. All that was so beautiful. It was a totally a different type of experience. Anyway, after that, when we went to Puttaparthi, after the summer course, then Swami called us in for an interview. And he said, the two girls have to go to Anantapur. They're going to study there. And you are also going. And then, you know.
Who were the two girls? Nina Bardoloi.
Nina Bardoloi and Namita Chankakoti. Okay. Sewali's sister. had also come for the summer course from Assam.
They're both your first cousins.
Yeah, both are my first cousins. So, what happened? Then as the interview, he says, Swami said, it is time for the bhajan to start. You go inside and lead. He told me. I said, my Swami, yes, Swami aata hai. Swami, whenever I sing, you must come. Like a innocent child, you know, he makes you, the way he interacts with you, you sometimes forget his divinity. And you feel that he is like one among you. So I said, no, Swami, you must come for my bhajan. Whenever I sing, you must come. He said, yes. And believe it or not, I think that was the Narayan Hari Naam Bhajore. That was the bhajan I sang. He was inside the interview room. The moment he finished, he sent the people out. And I started singing that bhajan and Swami came in. Well, that may be a coincidence. I don't know. Or he does certain things, you know. What I felt, sometimes he gives you the long rope. Sometimes he gives you so much of love that you're forced to change yourself. That's been my experience. He praises you so much, takes you to the skies with his praises. And you wonder, why did Swami say that? And then I realized that he wants you to live up to his expectations. So you have to work and reach that level. So,
and he sets up an aspirational bar for you by saying those nice things about you. I noticed that he would say some things very nice about some people, and I sometimes even wondered, like, really, seriously, Swami?
Yeah.
But I think he was setting up an aspirational level for them to try and reach to.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's what I felt.
Mm.
Because, you know, the moment he entered our life, we all, our aims, ambition, aspirations, everything died down. I thought of becoming an architect, because I think I did paint very well once upon a time. So I thought, well, I'll be an architect, and my father also had big plans. But the moment Swami came, we gave up everything, and, you know, it was like, Swami, hold my hand, beloved Lord, lead me on. So that was my prayer all the time. And then the next day, he said, he called the Anantapur people, and he asked us also to come in. So he said these two girls will be joining as students. They'll be going back to the college with you. And this girl, Dipali, very good teacher. Oh my God. I had no teaching experience. I said, my God, Swami, what are you doing? What will happen to me?
And never mind you, the students.
Yeah. And I was very young. You know, Rajeshri Patel was my student and they used to call me Didi. They never called me
Madam.
So, Swami, I said, my God, Swami, very good teacher, very, very good teacher. Alone she can manage so many things. He said that. My God, I said, Swami, what are you doing? My God, I really felt very embarrassed and also I was wondering, what is Swami doing to me? I've never taught in my life. I would be teaching for the first time. I was so nervous. Anyway, slowly, slowly I realized that when he says those things, he wants us to strive and reach that level, you know, and live up to his expectations. We may not be capable, but we can try, and Bhagwan helps. As you know, he always says, come one step to me, I come 10 steps towards you. That's so very true. So anyway, in spite of being very young, I think I managed my classes very well. That's what my students used to say. Rajeshwari Patel and all, I used to take classes for them on the terrace also. I used to go to their class and then, madam, please come up to the terrace. Didi, all of them, teaching that class, the brightest of the lot. Swami makes you do certain things. You know, you feel you are incapable, but he puts you into those situations so that you grow and, you know, improve yourself and live up to his expectations. That's been my experience. And then my stay at Anantapur was a very rewarding experience, very elevating also. And because I learned so many things, you know, so many things, I felt that he had sent me, that was a training ground for me. Because our responsibilities towards society, towards the elders, etc. What is seva? I understood the meaning of seva there. Because once in a while, we the teachers had to do all the work in the kitchen, scrubbing the utensils, cleaning up and all that. So that was, of course, pretty difficult. But then, when I look back, I feel that we learned so many things that way.
You were a young lady in your early 20s by then.
Yeah, I was 20, I had not even completed 22 years. I was very young. Anyway.
You taught there for 1 year.
1.5 years. Second year I couldn't complete. He brought me away. That was a big drama. I'm going to talk about it. But during that brief stay of mine, Swami visited the college twice. Mm-hmm. So, once he came and then these, the Jayama madam and all, they were always worried because Swami would be accompanied by young boys. Mm-hmm. And they knew that Swami never liked young people around. I mean the girls. So they would say, don't come in, okay? You stay outside. So I used to sit with the girls singing bhajan and all that. And Swami actually sent for me. And where's Dipali? Call her in. So I came. Swami was eating. But the whole night I stayed up with the girls and decorated the hall, the prayer hall. And then even the table where he ate, where he was eating. So he called me and then he was talking to me, asked me so many things and all. And he asked me how I was feeling, whether I liked the college or not. Because I had opted to work on an honorary capacity. I said, Swami, I'm not going to take any money. You have done so much for us. Let me do a little bit. You know, during my stay at Anantapur, I noticed Swami had taught us many things. For instance, in Puttaparthi, you know, there's the row of shops. I mean, it was initially ice cream parlor and there were shops.
The row of shops that yeah. behind what yeah. is now the Yajur Mandir.
Yajur Mandir.
Yes.
Those, we had to take charge of those shops.
I have also worked there as yeah. a student, but maybe about 10 years after that, yeah. after when you speak.
Yeah, we started it. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Swami was saying, sending Kutumba Rao with medicines for me. That she has a migraine. Give her these medicines. But you know, that strip never had any name on it for 7 days. Swami has asked you to take this for 7 days. So he was doing that. Then we had our seva in the temple. But during that particular trip, when I was talking to Swami, when Swami had come to Anantapur, I requested him to come for Vinayak Chaturthi to Anantapur. And Swami, we went to Puttaparthi for Gokulashtami, but you were not there. You were busy with the boys in Vrindavan. This time we are coming, but you must be there. Swami said, don't worry, I will come and celebrate Vinayak Chaturthi with you. I said, Swami, you're joking. He said, no, 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 call them. Call Jayama, call Himalata and Pushpa. I'll ask them to arrange for it. And she called them and he said, see, make arrangements for Vinayak Chaturthi. I'm coming. I think it was just a week after that. And then he said, satisfied? He asked me. I said, yes, Swami. And then he asked me to serve the guests I was serving. And when I was serving, as I was serving, Swami would come and say something or the other. And he gave me a packet and he said, this is from your brother. And I took that packet, never opened and saw what was inside. And then after that, Swami left and then he did come for Vinayak Chaturthi. And that was a beautiful experience altogether. It was so nice to have Swami on that auspicious day. And there are so many other things I would like to say during my stay there at Anantapur. Swami was so kind and so loving. Once, when my uncle was visiting Vrindavan, he sent him to Anantapur to see us. And he gave specific instructions to my uncle saying, bring Dipali for Diwali. And Diwali was, I think, about a week, maybe 10 days or a week after that, I think. But then my uncle came running and he saw us and he told Jayama Madam. And Jayama Madam said, how can I send her now? How can I send her for Diwali? Work will suffer. She has to work. We are running short of hands. We have a dearth of English teachers. So she has to be here. And then my uncle said, no, but I have to carry out Bhagwan's order. So she said, okay, you take her, but you have to bring her back soon. So anyway, I was allowed to go, but then Jayama Madam said, Deepa, I will give you a letter which should be handed over to Bhagwan. So I reached Vrindavan. Swami spoke to me and then I handed over the letter and then he comes back after reading the letter. I called you here for Diwali and Jayama wants you to go back. I said, Swami, you know best. You tell me what you want me to do. How could I exert my tiny brain for these such situations? Let him decide. So Swami said, no, you stay. Stay for some time. Then I believe after 3 or 4 days, Swami called us in for an interview. And he said, Dipali, I wanted you to come stay here for Diwali, but what to do? Jayama wants you back. She says, work is suffering. Then Swami, tell me, what should I do? Swami, you only decide for me. And very sweetly, he said, okay, stay. So maybe after a day or two, you can go. There were still 5 days for Diwali. So I said, okay, Swami, I was feeling very sad. But then these 4 or 5 days in his immediate divine proximity was so much. So I had to go back. But we were allowed to come now and then. Sometimes I came with the ex-students. And every time I came, I went to Vrindavan, Swami would be so kind. He would come and ask me, where are you staying? I would say, Swami, we have not decided. Maybe we'll stay outside. No, 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 don't stay outside. Come inside. So we would go and stay inside at the mandir. And during that period, we had a lot of, we enjoyed a lot. Anyway, during this went on for a year and a half. After that, Swami suddenly calls me away and says, now you look after your parents. By that time, my parents had come. They had moved in. And because Hirok had also joined, and he said, you come and be with your parents serve them.
You were the oldest of your siblings?
Yeah, oldest. And then, so I came. But actually he was, I think he was preparing me for the bigger plan, you know. That's why, and now it was, he would do it directly. Earlier he had created different situations, different places to train me up. But now he would be doing it directly. So I came. And then it was like, you know, 2-3 days I'm here. And then Swami decides, say for about 15 days I'm at Vrindavan. Then he will say, come. He will take both me and mom to Parthi. And then call us in. I said, Swami, I have to go back. No more scope. Keep quiet. Stay here. Look after your mother. And when the college people came, that was a beautiful drama Swami enacted. I don't know why. And the college people came, Pushpa aunty and Jayama madam and Purna didi. And they asked Swami, Swami, you have to send Dipali. Swami said, yeah, I'll send her. I don't know why she's not going. So I didn't know what to say. And they can't get hold of me. And what is this? Why don't you go? Swami is asking you. I said, see, madam, okay, we'll thresh it out on the floor. I said, okay, fine. So Swami was going to see the college staff. She said, why do you stay sit separately? You come and sit with us. I said, madam, I tried. Once when I went and sat, he came, you saw, no? He came straight to me and he said, why you are not Anantapur? Why are you sitting over there? You go and sit with your mother. So I was packed off from there, sent off from there. So how can I come in? So, no, you come. So I went to the mandir and then again, same thing. Swami, as soon as he entered through the door, he saw me. Why are you sitting over here? You are not Anantapur. Swami, what is this, Swami? Please send her to the college. He said, no. You go now. I'll send her later. And he never sent me back. So Swami has his own plans and he knows what is best. So then, after that, say from 78 to 86, I was at Vrindavan.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. We are coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India on this 29th day of June 2017. The time in the ashram right now is 46 minutes past 10 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. Dear listeners, you just heard part 1 of Triswe Divinity with Miss Dipali Chankakoti of Assam. You can catch part 2 right here on Morning Glory next week with my colleague Raghu. Meanwhile, I eagerly look forward to all your feedback and I will continue to review it even when I'm away because emails are easy to access. So please send your thoughts, comments and feedback by email to listener@radiosai.org. May I remind you that Brother Raghu will be the host over the next few weeks. That is for the month of July and most of August as I'm going to be away from the office during that period. And also, some of the interviews that I have lined up for the next 7 to 8 weeks are full of gravitas and intense inspiration. So please don't miss out on the mega doses of Sai Love that will be served on Morning Glory every Thursday. And now, as I get ready to speak with Brother Bishu, the lone RJ who is yet to celebrate the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live on Morning Glory, I will first announce the names of all those who got their answer right to my question this morning about the grand old lady who's turning 58 today. She loves green as her favorite color and she exudes calmness and pure oxygen. So the correct answer, of course, is the Vatavriksha or the meditation tree, the beautiful banyan tree that has been planted in the ashram, just outside the ashram along the road that goes up to the administrative block of the Satya Sai University. And the following listeners got the answer right, and I'm happy to announce their name and congratulate all of you. Raghu Bangalorekar, Regina from Johannesburg, South Africa, Purna Jankiraman from Sharjah, Dhananjayan G., Sai Vijay Santapuri from Hyderabad, Babita Mehtani from Hong Kong, Sai Sudha from Mumbai, Nakul Sanadi, Yoga Kumaran Nadaraja from Toronto, Canada, Rajiv Venkat from Mumbai who said the birthday baby is the meditation tree, Sai Krishna from Hyderabad, Telangana, Gauri Shitre, Shankar and Subhash from Dubai, Rukmini Ramachandran, Sri G. Devendra Kumar, Supreet Budarthi from Mysore, Geeta Sundar and Mala Malik from Mauritius. Thank you all for participating, and all of you are right. And I also want to read to you a little bit about the history of the meditation tree, because it was in April of 1959, even I wasn't born then, while talking to his devotees one evening on the sands of the Chitravati River, Baba spoke of Buddha and the Bodhi tree, the tree of wisdom, and of all the spiritual aspirants who were seeking some specially favorable spots for practicing their austerities. Even as he was speaking thus, he took out, so to speak, from the sand, a thick copper plate. It was about 15 inches by 10 inches in size, and it contained mystic markings and letters of many known and unknown alphabets. Swami announced that he would be placing the copper plate, this very potent and mystical copper plate, if I may add, under a banyan tree that he proposed to plant in a grove. The planting of the banyan tree was actually done on this day, 29th of June in 1959. And Bhagwan declared that yogis who had reached a certain stage of spiritual progress will automatically come to know of this tree and this mystic plate, and they will be drawn to the mysterious force of these towards the meditation groove, which will then fully justify its name. So today, on the 58th anniversary of planting of this tree, there was a very nice program right under it, and there was Vedam Bhajan, and my colleague Brother Bishu has just walked into the studio and shared some prasadam with me that he got from there. And dear sisters and brothers, I would highly urge that next time you are in Puttaparthi, please take a moment to visit and spend some time under that tree. My personal favorite is when you sit there calmly after morning aarti and just watch your mind. Try practicing the witness mode and you will find that your monkey mind will slowly go through its craziness, and then the waves of thoughts will gently reduce to ripples, and a deep sense of serenity and clarity will overpower you. As we wish happy birthday to our meditation tree, I'm happy to inform you that finally I'm ready to have Vishu on this show. So, and before I do that, I must take a moment to thank all of you who sent their good wishes to me for my new assignment, and I'm very grateful, and I think I will be counting on your prayers and your good wishes to make sure that I walk the path that Swami will approve of. He's the only one that matters. So as he's happy, rest everything follows. Thank you very much for your kind thoughts, your good wishes, and your welcoming notes that I've been receiving for the last 2 days. And this morning on Morning Glory, many of you wrote very sweet things to me on the show, and I appreciate. I'm deeply grateful, and I'm very humbled. So with that, I'm happy to welcome Brother Bishu. Sairam Bishu.
Sairam.
Finally, you made it. You've been traveling globetrotting, so it's good to have you back in the seat today. 5 years of outside, inside, deep inside. How deep have you gone in? And when you look back, what do you see in hindsight?
Well, when we started Thursday Live, yeah, 5 years ago, and we had this opportunity, each of us, that, you know, we can offer something for 1.5 hour during every Thursday. So I was thinking, what could we do? And working with Professor Venkatraman for so many years, you know, we always have been thinking about how we can find solutions to everything that is happening around us, how Swami's message is so relevant for us. Ultimately, it should help us to become happier. Mm-hmm. It should help us to lead more wholesome lives. And that's when I thought one beautiful way of doing this would be to look at things outside and then reflect on it and then find solutions for that deep inside. And that's how the name came about: outside, inside, deep inside. Mm-hmm. And I also thought it also gave me a lot of freedom, because it's a program, it's a generic name, and you know, I can put anything into it. It's not a bhajan centric program or a Vedam centric program. It's not like a radio set bhajan classroom where I talk only about bhajans. It is an umbrella under which I can package anything. So I can package a documentary, I can package a panel discussion, mm-hmm, I can package a talk, I can package anything. So
a lot of creative liberties.
Yeah, so that's how that name came about, and I think that's what we did for so many years. all these weeks we had discussions, panel discussions, we had documentaries, we have all sorts of programs, yeah. So, yes, I really love the freedom that this program gave me. At the same time, I think there was also a point where I thought maybe I should do something on a structured basis, take one particular topic and then, and then work on it. And that's how this, the last sort of 18, 19, 20 weeks, I think we were doing this Vahini Satsang. So I thought maybe we'll do it, do the same thing, but do it anchoring it to one of Bhagwan's literature, and that's how this Vahini Satsang came about. So,
and it's so well received, listeners are enjoying it immensely.
So it's the same format, it's in the same panel discussion format. So the discussion actually is now it's more informal and it's more casual, and you have every time you have a new guest, so, and every time Swami plans it, so it's wonderful, yes.
Oh, I can see that. Now, when you look back about almost 300 episodes over 5 years, what are your finest moments? What are your most memorable episodes? Anything comes to mind?
Oh, I think every episode that way is very memorable. I think the way every episode shapes up, I can go on talking about for an hour about how every episode was made. Okay, let me just think about one. Okay, there was this panel discussion that we had with students from the university. I was having this discussion with three students who had decided to stay back after they finished their education. Because it always was something which I was curious about, because after Swami leaving his physical form, what is it that is inspiring students to stay back and dedicate their lives? And so after the Sai Sannidhi celebrations, you know, in Prashanthi Nilam, where we all, the 200 and odd of us, you know, who are here, we have this offer, this program to Bhagwan, and every year I will learn new students have joined. So I called these three students, I think 2 years ago, to have this discussion about what is their motivation, and they were very, very fantastic stories. I was so stunned hearing their stories about how Swami is even now. You know, when we had the chance, so we always felt that we were literally handpicked by Bhagwan, and that's how it happened. He literally picked us up and said, yeah, you work in the studio, you work in the book trust. But that is happening even now. It's happening in his own inimitable, amazing way. So it was a huge, huge, you knew it, but when you hear the stories, you're all the time more aware.
May I ask who the students were, Bishop?
Yeah, I think one of them was Abhinav Nair, and I think another one was, I forget his name. Yeah, Abhinav Nair remains in my mind because his story was so fantastic. And one of the things that Abhinav shared was about how he actually became a student. You know, towards the end of the discussion, I also asked him how you became a student. And so there was this story of how he was part of Mumbai Youth. And, you know, there were three of them who wanted to join the Vrindavan, the Parthi campus. And they had come to Prashanthi Nilam and they had presented this program on Chhatrapati Shivaji. And all of them, none of them really expected, because they were all very, very cool guys. You know, they're not really so serious into Swami. So they were taking it very, very casually, actually. And so, you know, one of them, the previous day before their drama, so they were just going around Prashanthi Nilayam, and, you know, so they, as they walk past the Yajur Mandir, they just stop by, and I think this is 2009, and, you know, one of them casually says, you know what should happen tomorrow? All of us, we finish the drama, and we are standing there, you know, for the group picture, and, you know, Swami comes, and then, you know, and Swami then calls the Vice Chancellor. Mm-hmm. And then Swami picks up, you know, he just points to all three of us.
With his finger.
You come out. You come out. And then Swami calls the Vice Chancellor and Swami says, all three of them, take them to your university.
Uh-huh. This was their big wishful thing.
This was their, in the most dramatic manner, yeah. They were thinking that.
They were from Mumbai, very filmy.
Yeah, it was really, really, you know. So that's what they were talking about in the previous evening. And next day they do the program, and the drama goes on fantastically. And so in the end, you know, they are standing there for the group photograph, and they're praying to Bhagwan, and Bhagwan comes down. And actually, they had their application forms. They had not even signed, you know, they just had their blank application forms. And so one of them got this idea, okay, why don't we get this blessed, you know. So they were just holding that. And so Swami went down, gave Padmaskaram group photograph, and he came back to the stage. And then suddenly they thought, you know, let us just display our application form. So they were just holding that. And then Swami looked at them very quizzically. And to their utter amazement, Swami asked Mr. Anil Gokak, who was the Vice Chancellor, Swami called for him. And Anil Gokak sir came. Then Swami pointed out to all these three boys. I mean, Swami told him, take these application forms.
Yeah.
It did happen. The drama was real life happening in Bhagwan's presence. So amazing. He was like, and this boy, he couldn't imagine that was happening. You know, it was just a casual conversation.
Like beside, a dream come true.
Like a dream. Hmm. And he didn't join. You know, it was so fantastic. After that he joined. And after he finished the education, 5 years, and he was thinking of going back to Saudi Arabia where his parents were, to Muscat, where his parents were, to, you know, pursue his PhD. But again, something very, very dramatic happens. And so he brings him back to pursue his PhD again in the most fantastic manner. So we finished the conversation. You know, I was so uplifted having the whole conversation. Mm. And what I generally do on Thursdays is after the conversation is over, I would then switch back to our regular playlist. You know, so generally it would be a song or it could be a drama.
Right.
So I would just tell the listeners that, you know, we are winding down our Thursday life and you will continue to listen to this drama or this song from our regular playlist. So that's what I did. And before I do that, I just quickly look up the schedule. Just at that moment, as I'm talking. So I saw in the playlist as there was this drama. So I just announced that, you know, you will now continue to listen to a drama staged by the children of Mumbai, entitled Chhatrapati Shivaji. And that's it. And I made the announcement and everything was over. I didn't think actually so much about it. I came out and this brother said, "Brother, how did you know this? How are you playing the Chhatrapati Shivaji drama?"
I don't know. It's on the playlist.
It was on the playlist. He didn't know. That was the same drama.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I didn't realize. It was the same drama. I mean, we have thousands of dramas. What is the probability of that drama being scheduled on that day?
Yeah. You know? Is the synchronicity that Swami is managing the show around
here. It was such a beautiful affirmation from Bhagwan about how he's guiding everything.
Yes.
I mean, I can go on with these stories, any number of them. Yeah, it's just him doing it. Yeah.
Bishu, how do you go about, it must be quite a challenge to produce this kind of quality work week after week, every week, and then, you know, in between you have to travel, we have many other duties to perform, you take care of the website. How do you go about deciding on and gathering material and topics and talent for your show every week? Is that a challenge?
I think it's not a challenge, it's a joy.
Really, isn't
it? It's a joy. It's not a challenge.
Nothing is a challenge around you.
Yes, because he's guiding it, you know.
Yeah.
Every time it just happens.
Truly.
You don't think about it. It just like, for example, last time, you know, we were discussing the Prema Vahini chapter 8.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking whom to call. And I just occurred, okay, I'll call Sanjay Sahani, sir.
Huh?
And I met him. I had the call. He came. We had a lovely session. And then after that, I said, "Sir, can you please come, you know, the subsequent week also?" He said, no, I'm, he was going out. So I said, okay, fine. So whom do I call? So the next, you know, I was just thinking, I just got the call from Sanjay Sahani, sir. I'm thinking, whom do I call? It just occurred. Okay, let me call Sally, sir. Actually, Sally, sir, is someone who's a very, very respected figure in the music group. And I've been in the music group. and, you know, I don't really have that much of courage to just pick up the phone call. And he's someone who doesn't answer calls. So he doesn't use the phone so much. But I don't know, that day somehow I picked up courage and I called him. I was really not sure how he's going to take it, but he took the phone and, you know, he agreed to come. There was that, at that time itself, you know, I just felt Swami is making it happen. And he came, we had a lovely satsang. But interestingly, that day it was all about food, you know, that 2-3 paragraphs that we were discussing, it was about food. And I was thinking, before the satsang started, I was thinking, what will sir talk about food? Because sir is all about music. I mean, he's one who's trained everyone in the music group. So I thought, I don't know, but that's what has happened. So we had the discussion. And at the end of it, you know, sir says, you know what, Swami is so fantastic because I have been doing something with regard to food in my spiritual sadhana. I've been experimenting with food in his spiritual growth, guided by his Guruji. He has a Guruji who brought him to Swami and all that. And he's saying, this is like a clear, clear message to me, you know. And so I said, sir, can you please come the next week? He said, no, I'm traveling. Oh, I said, okay, fine. So whom do I call next week? Then, you know, after the bhajan session, I just see Bhagya sir. And I'm thinking, okay, that would be very nice. So I just approach him. And he says, okay. And I see the paragraph, next paragraph. It's all about how you should not distinguish between what is spiritual and what is worldly. Mm. That's what Swami is talking about. And I thought he's a perfect person. So I ask him and he agrees to come. But I'll just take 2 minutes. I know we're losing out of time.
It's okay. Go on.
Something interesting again happened. Now, you know, generally Sai Prakash and myself host this show together. Mm. And so that week Sai Prakash was not here. He was in Chennai, but he was definitely wanted to be part of it. So how do we do it? So we thought, okay, we'll do it online, you know, we'll do it over Skype. And so the previous evening we tested out the Skype thing. But it's really challenging because A, connectivity always is an issue in India. You know, you never know when it will, you lose the connection. And secondly, he also has to hear, because here we play Bhagwan's
clips. Discourse.
You know, it's not Swami's voice, but we have someone read out Prema Vahini. So we listen to that. Mm-hmm. We listen to the Telugu, we listen to the English, and then we discuss. So for him sitting there to listen to this and then, you know, assimilate what we are discussing without any gaps, without any lags, you know. So all that was a challenge. And I was wondering, we tested out the previous evening. I was not so happy. I mean, I really want to be him to be part of it, but I was thinking about this technical problem that can come up. And I have seen that, you know, many times these things happen. So, but I can't tell him you don't be part of it. But at the same time, I don't know how to deal with it. And the most important thing is Bhagya sir is coming. He's such a respected person. He's guided all of us.
He's a senior professor in our university.
Senior professor. He is someone who has deepened everyone's faith in Swami during our management days. Mm. And, you know, so I don't want anything to happen in the show which could be disturbing for him. It's very, very difficult if you're narrating something and, you know, some connection breaks and your flow of thought goes and all that. So I was thinking what to do, and I said, okay, Swami, whatever you want. And so the next day, the session was about to start, and you know, I tested out, CG was online, and so we were able to go online, and then he goes off. Okay, he's not able to connect.
So Sai Prakash.
Yeah, Sai Prakash is not able to connect.
Uh-huh.
We had tested out thoroughly. And so now I'm thinking, what should I do? So I call him, what do I do? You're not able to come online. He says, fine, you know, you go ahead because we're losing time. It's a live program. So I said, okay, fine. So we start the conversation. Okay. And after that, you know, and sir is completely into it. Hmm. You know, I can't break. I cannot really again have Sai Prakash come into during the conversation. And it was a very, very wonderful, very enlightening session. And I was really so grateful to Bhagwan that it happened. So today when I think about it, it was so fantastic because, you know, Swami, and just after the session was over, after the Sai Prakash was able to connect.
Hmm.
Just that 1 hour he was not able to connect.
I guess his trend of thought had to just flow, the wisdom. Uh-huh. So I think this would have been a little bit of a distraction.
Distraction. I think, so, you know, I was thinking how it is going to play out. But Swami arranged it in such a manner that, you know, and sir had, you know, if three people are talking, then he will have less time to talk. You know, he had all the time. I just had to be only a listener. Sir had all the time to speak. Hmm. And his instances were so powerful. And everything just fell into place. I didn't have to do anything.
Yes.
So I think this happens every. And after that, I asked sir, can you come for the next week? He said, no, I'm traveling.
Everyone was
coming, and the next week they were not there. You know, it was almost like they were just meant to be there for that program.
Episode. Yeah.
It's like that, you know. That's what I can narrate like this instances about every episode that happens. It's just him doing it. Yeah. You just leave everything in God's hand, and you see God's hand in everything.
And it's so true in each of the segments. Whoever, all the RJs who have been here, they've all shared the same sentiment, and I concur, and I experience it all the time. My funniest story is that I just schedule interviews depending on the first recorded, first aired generally. And the scheduling of the recording determines the scheduling of the airing, and sometimes the duration. If a file is too long, then I have another file to play, then I might play it the next week because I have to fill a certain time slot. And whatever I do, only thinking of convenience of the program, I end up playing most of the files on the birthdays and anniversaries and special days of the devotees. And I don't know their personal lives, and I have not recorded their when did they get married, when were they born, or anything like that. So
yes,
Swami, so I realize, you know, I always say Swami is the human resources manager, the program director. He's also the scheduler. Imagine that Chhatrapati Shivaji played on the day when that young man, Abhinav Nair, was in the studio, and he told the story, and then you played it from the playlist. So who's in charge here?
Just
you feel like such a puppet. I hope we never forget that.
Absolutely
wonderful. Now going forward, Bishu, what can people look forward to from outside, inside, deep inside?
Well, I think this has been a very, very enlightening journey doing the Vahini Satsang.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to do the same thing. I'm trying to package everything that we were doing, but package into the Vahini series, the Prema Vahini series.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are going to do, we are going to have definitely many more experience and people who have lived these teachings in their life, and that's what we are trying to do at every episode. We're praying to Swami, and we get the right people to give us the right insight about what Bhagwan is, you know, talking about in that chapter. So I think we will definitely continue with Vahini Satsang for few more weeks, because I think that is the written word of Bhagwan which he has himself written. I mean, you never had in the history of the avatars
any avatar writing
who
avatar,
actually wrote down his message.
Yeah.
You know, this is
with his
pure
own hand. It's not even spoken word. It's handwritten.
It's handwritten.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, Swami's discourses can sometimes be mixture, because Swami would many times even shift topics during discourses because of the crowd, because of he want to convey particular message to a particular audience. But this written word, I feel it is just coming straight from him, you know, and that too in the 50s. So I think that's a very, very really grateful to Bhagwan that, you know, even this whole idea of doing the Vahini Satsang was again inspiration. I had gone out somewhere in one of the districts in Karnataka, and there, you know, as I was talking to youth there, I found this very, very inspiring youth. I mean, maybe I'll talk about him some other show. His name is Mr. Dinesh. And he started talking about Vahinis and how they are doing Vahini Satsang.
Mm.
You know, and I thought, oh my God, you know, people here are doing it. And
why don't we do it in Vahinis?
And, you know, so that was something. I was, at that point in time, I was constantly thinking about doing something else, frankly. Because I had done this outside, inside for so long. I was thinking of doing something on a continuous basis. Take a particular topic, you know, have this continuous series. And already Shravana Mananam was happening, which is based on Swami's discourses. I wanted to focus on the message, and that was like a clear message from Swami to take Vahini. So I came back and then I said, let's start Vahini Satsang. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Brother Bishu, thank you for joining me on the show, which is incidentally the last one I'll be hosting till late August. So I'm so glad you made it.
Okay, Swami's
and
grace.
I know I didn't want anyone left out before I went away. So good luck, and may the force be with you, and may you continue to shine as Swami's instrument at all times.
Yeah, let Swami guide us all the time.
Truly.
Thank you so much.
Yes, great having you. Thank you. And now, dear listeners, may I remind you to send us your feedback to today's episode of Morning Glory, whether it's regarding the live conversation we've had with the R.J. Bishu or the episode of Tris with Divinity with Part 1 with Ms. Dipali Chankakoti. Our email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. With Swami's blessings and grace, and with His divine permission, I hope to be back in the second half of August. But throughout this period, I will be checking all your emails, so keep writing. And may I request you to please, dear sisters and brothers, stay connected with Morning Glory during my absence. My colleague, Brother Raghu, will host the segment from next week and continue to bring you some stellar interviews and conversations from around the world. I wish you a sizable, awesome day ahead. And I seek your good wishes and blessings to proceed on my tasks that Swami has laid for me with clear focus on the divine goal. Thank you for your company, and Jai Sai Ram.
Pujantu mana saini jaya saini. చేసి రూపదీపములని వెలిగించి స్వామికి పంచభక్షణని వేద్యములని చేసి పాలించే ద్రోచి సాయినాథుని శ్రీనివాసుని పరమేశ్వరుని సత్య సాయిని పాలించే ద్రోచి సాయినాథుని శ్రీనివాసుని పరమేశ్వరుని సత్య సాయిని పూజింతు మన సాయిని జయ సాయిని సర్వేశ్వరుని జగదీశ్వరుని భక్తవత్సలని పాదమిగతియని భజనలు చేసి భక్తి శ్రద్ధలతో మంగళములు చేసి వారములని వెళ్ళి మంగళములు పడి జయ హరతి జగదీశ్వరుని 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 జగదీశ్వరుని.